Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
Here's Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris, expanding via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott, goal!
Hello, how are we? And welcome to another edition of the Glovers Cast. Coming to you this Thursday evening, we are recording as the Football Content Awards gets underway. We are so confident we're not going to win an award, we haven't bothered to go to the award ceremony. However, far more important things to talk about, as you can imagine, Altrincham, Weymouth, and a whole lot of shenanigans in between. So, of course, we have to have the deadly duo of Ian Perkins and David Coates to discuss it all as well. Gentlemen, it's been quite a couple of days to be a Yeovil fan, hasn't it?
Very, very quiet.
Might have been quiet for you. you've been running around trying to sell your house. That's far more important than
again.
Yeah,
I can imagine the previous buyers of our house are listening to the podcast. But if you are, thanks for pulling out just as we get ourselves sorted for our house move into our new house. Thanks very much for that hassle.
Yeah, I'm sure good people of Leeds, West Yorkshire, listen to this. I'm sure
regularly, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Just like the Greater Manchester Police listen to it as well.
Hey, they nearly picked me up on the way there, so yeah.
is Altrincham subject of the Greater Manchester Police?
Yeah, it is.
That was where it all started, wasn't it?
That's where it all, because I went there under incognito, didn't I? And then I ended up with a letter from Greater Manchester Police saying that I didn't have any insurance on my car. So I thought it was someone genuinely trying to pull me, but yeah. Yeah.
And you went to an away match.
Exactly.
It said
disgusting.
At the bottom.
Yeah, disgusting.
P.S. We know you're a Yeovil fan.
Yeah. But we feel sorry for you.
If they get back in touch, can you report a robbery, please? Because Josh Staunton's ball was so far over the line, I could see from Leeds. Let's talk backwards before we talk forwards. Yeovil drew 1-1 against Altrincham, who had a left back in goal for 75 minutes. And I'm everything I'm told is that I should be happy about that. Ian, should I be happy about that? I'm a bit confused.
I wasn't happy about it.
Okay, fine. That's okay then. Okay. Just I thought I was supposed to be happy about it. Because
I don't know why we're painting this goalkeeper to have had an absolute worldie or this left back to have had an absolute worldie in goal. I mean, you've seen Quigley's goal by now, I assume.
Yeah, that was a spillage, yes.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't try that a bit more.
Well, okay. I mean,
I mean, they defended well. They defended. They defended for their lives because they had a left back in goal, and for some reason we just did not break it down.
So, okay, now if you've listened to the manager's comments today, he played a little bit devil's advocate with regards to some of the statistics. He said he wasn't a stats guy, but he did give us lots of stats.
He had a lot of statistics for someone who doesn't like him, didn't he?
Loves a statistic, but doesn't really like a statistic. 28 shots on goal during the game. I'll be honest with you, my numbers made 20. My numbers made 20. Loads of corners. Lots of dangerous attacks, if you're a follower of an in-play betting service.
Is that the same as final third entries that a previous Darren used to talk about a lot?
No idea. An XG of 6.
Yeah.
Plenty of crosses. Did we do enough to write that off as just one of those days in front of goal on the night? Because I want to ask a follow-up question off the back of it, Ian.
We never created anything clear cut.
Okay.
There was no moments. I mean, Quigley had a decent volley that just went over the post. It was sort of like a snapshot turn in the box chance. But I never thought that we were like, there was no moment where I was like, oh, we're in here. This is it. This is it. We're going to score. We had these efforts from corners. And I wrote on the conclusions, I think if our best chance of us saying we should have won that game is where we've had to get an assistant referee to make a decision at whether the ball's gone over the line or not through of loads of bodies. I mean, there's no way they could tell that was in. No way. I couldn't tell it was in, and I was sort of side on looking directly at the goal. And to me, there was no way they could tell.
Okay, then. So my follow-up question is, had we not done so, so poorly against Chesterfield, Boreham Wood, Maidenhead, Notts County coming into that game, let's say we'd picked up, for argument's sake, 6-7 points out of those four games, and then that Altrincham game happens exactly as it did, goalie gets taken out, left back goes in goal, huff and puff, can't blow the house down. Do you think we're thinking about it differently in any way, shape or form? Are we kind of going, oh, well, at least we tried? But because we gave up the wiggle room going into that game, there was more demand on it. Do you understand what I'm asking?
I do. But I think the fact that we couldn't beat a team with an outfield player in goal, regardless of wiggle room, context, is not good enough in my view. I don't know how it's like, we're a full-time football club playing a part-time football club with a left back in goal,
and they've traveled 220 miles down the road to get there. Let me tell you, the northwest of England to the southwest of England is quite a long way, so along the M5 M6 I'd have been happy with a point against Altrincham at home if they didn't have a left-back in goal for 74 minutes. So I would have been happy with a point.
And they lost another defender, didn't they? Malarkey.
Yeah,
they did.
So they had to reshape into pretty significant ways quite early on.
I tell you what, AJ Leach-Smith looks like a good player.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you reckon we could possibly get the better out of him if we took him on?
We can't, because he's been in the quiz already, and he's got to be a former player if you've been in the quiz. So sorry, can't have him again.
Yeah, quiz rules.
Okay, then. Let's talk pre-goalkeeper injury, because we all wanted a response. We all wanted an attacking impetus. 4-3-3, essentially. Is that about right? With the three out-and-out attackers, Quigley, yeah. Youssef, and Seymour on the pitch. And before the injury to the goalkeeper, we were more attacking. No, we had some shots, we had some corners, we got out of the traps early. That's a positive, is it not?
Yeah, I think it took us 3 minutes to have a shot on target, which was, yeah, really good. A whole 82 minutes before we did on Saturday. Yeah, we did come out of the blocks looking really good. Yeah, lots of efforts. We sort of just didn't let them breathe, really. We were putting the balls in, and I thought Youssef is just like a wrecking ball, just, bounding around and causing hassle. Seymour looks bright. I like him. I think we hopefully we'll get a lot out of him. I'd like to think we would. Yeah, we look much better.
That was almost too positive for me.
I was going to say, yeah, it's a little bit worried. Right. What have you done with
Ian? Yeah.
Well, right? We did. Well, we did. We looked good. The first 6 minutes were wonderful. The best time I've had all season.
Thankfully, as someone who was at Stockport, it's not the best 6 minutes I've had all season. I don't really know what else to ask about that, really. So the sense, the feeling, the conversations afterwards with Tom Knowles, with the gaffer, and then pre-match today has all been fairly positive about it. Whether that's right or wrong, do you think that the guys feel that the step up from that Notts County debacle, there's no other way of putting it, to the performance against Altrincham is enough to get them excited about the fact that they are returning to something akin to form? Because they do all seem genuinely, Tom Knowles seemed like saying, I'm back to where I want to be, which is something that I think you've wanted more than anything. That was his line that you saw. You said you haven't seen this Tom Knowles from a while. He said he feels like he's back to where he has been in the past. Dale Gorman mentioned that a few of them were trying to get back in form, that others got a bit of praise from the gaffer. It's heading in the right direction. Is it not? Maybe? Or am I clutching at straws?
Well, I don't think Tom Knowles is in form.
Well, he says he feels he's back to where he was. Now, one game's not going to do that, but three or four or five. If he does that on Saturday and then following on.
If he does what on Saturday? Gets taken off after 70 minutes because he's not done anything.
Well, the manager said today as well that he thought that that Tom Knowles was back in form. And he said that he thought Joe Quigley was back in form based on the performances against Altrincham as well.
I'm trying here, Dave. I'm trying, aren't I?
You are trying.
Yeah, you two weren't there. I mean...
You two weren't there.
You weren't there, man.
You weren't there, man. You didn't know.
Here we go. Altrincham beat Vietnam.
Quigley scored.
That's good. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing. He reacted. Positive. He was there. It was almost like he knew this not goalkeeper was going to drop the ball. And he was there accordingly. But we're not playing to his strengths.
Yeah, we're treating him like a head on a stick, I seem to feel.
Yeah, which
he's not.
Last season, Darren Sarr said he's so much more than that. And he's had to re-coach him, and now he's, I don't know. Yeah, I thought we're not playing to Quigley's strengths, and he gets, what's the word I'm looking for? He is obvious when we're not doing it. It's like when we used to lump it up to Gold, and he wouldn't win a header for however many times in a row, or when we try to do it with Keith and Moore. It's, I don't know. He's better with the ball at his feet. But I didn't think he did. Didn't think he did a great deal on Tuesday, other than his goal. He's a physical presence to have around, but yeah, we're not playing to his strengths right now.
I haven't got anywhere else to go, Dave. Can you ask anything more? I'm struggling. I've tried so hard.
No, I think it's a decent summary, isn't it? I said after the game, I would have been very pleased with a point against Altrincham if they hadn't had a left back in goal for 74 minutes. And I think that's true. I mean, if we're really clutching for positives here, yeah, it's a point against a team who's above us. We had more shots on target than we did the previous game. I guess that's got to be a slightly upward trajectory. We didn't lose, and we had a shot before the 85th minute. That's about as much as I can get.
Jordan Barnett came back in.
Yeah.
He was good, as expected. We showed we could do something a bit differently in that we had three forwards on the pitch.
I was going to say, Seymour got a bit of praise from the manager today as well.
He's growing into it. I thought he was good in the first game against Maidenhead. And then I was disappointed that he didn't start against Notts County. I think that was a mistake to not have him in there. Maybe he was, you know, not quite match fit to start two in a row. I thought it was interesting that he said about having a fifth. He talked about having a goalkeeper on the bench. And saying he always wants to have a goalkeeper on the bench, but the last two games we've not had.
Well, he did against Altrincham. Max Evans was there, wasn't he, against Altrincham?
Oh, was he on the bench against Altrincham?
Yeah, he was.
I was too caught up in the Ferrari ahead of Altrincham.
Oh, there you go. Segue, Ben. Segue.
And I had a beer before.
Yeah, right. You had a beer a bit before. Larry.
Got a beer now in case we win an award.
Champagne for everyone.
For context, the Football Contents Awards have now begun. The first award has just been handed out. It was Best Young Content Creator. Congratulations.
You?
No, it wasn't me. Definitely wasn't you.
What about the Best Old Content Creator? What about that? Ageist.
United Cloud won that one. Well done to them. I've no idea what's going on, but I am watching. The small one from Soccer AM is doing the hosting. Everyone's getting their moment in the sun. Yes, so well done to them. If and when I spot our category, I'll interrupt and I'll live react to us not winning. Although I have just noticed that everyone is getting there is a bronze, silver, and gold award. Oh. I thought it was just a flat win. So if we sneak a bronze,
yeah,
how good would that be? Sneak a bronze in.
It's like a winning draw, yeah.
That is it.
Hey, I tell you what, it's better than
how many stars can we have?
It's better than a losing draw, which is what we're getting a lot of at the moment.
No, you need to cheer up.
Right. Hey, I've had three home games in a row. I cannot, and a fourth on Saturday. I'm looking forward to an away game, so I don't have to watch.
Nice. That's up to us then, I'm afraid. Well, neither of us are going to Grimsby. No. I've got Solihull, though.
The next away game I'll do is Solihull as well. So, yeah, we'll suffer together with that one, Ben. But, yeah,
afraid so.
Anyway, so tell us about what happened before the game. So before all of this happened, you... everyone got fired up about a statement which came out from the Supporters Alliance group, which is made up of, would it be fair to say it's made up of the main supporters, fans groups of Yeovil Town? The Green and Whites are on it, the Glovers Trust are on it, and then other bodies which are probably more, the Disabled Supporters Association, I think they're on it as aren't they?
There's a few of us.
Which, and I won't read it all out because you can read it on the website if you want to, but commented on speculation on social media over the past 72 hours and urged our AWOL chairman and owner, Mr. Scott Priestnell, to come out and offer some certainty and clarity as to the future of the Yeovil Town FC. So... anyone want to say what that was all about? what the social media speculation was?
Well, there's speculation about people at the table and nothing being talked about. No, the owner's gone silent. People know it's happening.
It was described somewhere as the worst kept secret that's still a secret, isn't it? I'm sure I read that written somewhere.
So
there was a blog on our website written by some idiot, which spoke about two consortiums bidding for the ownership of Yeovil Town, led by current club director Glenn Collis, and another led by Julian Jenkins, an ex Cardiff City commercial director and CEO at Swisside Civet, which seemed to have been fired up by there's a website which I'm sure all Yeovil Town supporters will come across called Global 24/7, which seems to write these. I can only describe them as a bizarre string of online articles claiming to have some connection with Julian Jenkins, but I'm not sure what they've got a connection with, but they've got a connection with something. I just don't know where it is. But and that seemed to be suggesting that there were these two groups. Now, we know there are two groups, or we were told by the Glovers Trust that there were two groups bidding for the... For the ownership of the club. Ben, what did you make of the statement and everything which has been discussed before and after?
First thing, congratulations to Sheffield United Way, who have won Best Football League podcast. statements are fine, aren't they? Statements are good. Statements are welcomed. The people we need the statements from are the people not giving statements. is how I feel, is the honest answer now. It feels to me like quite a lot of people have made their mind up with regards to the worst kept secret in South Somerset football history as to who these two people may or may not be, or two consortiums, who they may or may not be. It's time now. It's time now for Consortium A and Consortium B to come out and say, here's what I want to do. Here's how we can help. Because people have made their mind up. I think I've made my mind up as to who I would like. And
do you want to say?
Well, everything I've read and everything I've seen, and you talking about specifically last week, nothing changes till everything changes, tells me that we have to start afresh. And that is with Julian Jenkins, if that's part of the team. So if you're listening, Glenn, and I'm sure that you have nothing but genuine thoughts that you are good and that your team is good and that you have the right things in heart and you are trying to do things for what you believe in and the right reasons behind it. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate that you are going to put forward a bid that you think is best for and show as being best for the club. But Glenn, walk away. It's time. Thank you. Thank you for trying. Thank you for trying to put together something, but it's time now to call it a day. This football club, these people deserve change, deserve brand new thought processes, deserve brand new people. And you, unfortunately, in the same way Scott has done the square root of nothing, you've shown us nothing that you'd be any better in his seat. So, Glenn, sorry, mate. Thank you for genuinely trying. And I'm happy to give you the benefit of the doubt that you're doing everything in the right possible mind. Walk away with your head held high and with your reputation still intact. And anyone in who may be listening that is a part of his group who is thinking about being on his side, walk away. It's time. None of us deserve this. You don't deserve this. Glenn, you don't deserve this, Glenn. You don't deserve the vitriol that would come your way if you get the club in your hands. It's done. It's time. Let Julian take over and let bygones be bygones, and let's just see where this thing can go, because we're all bored, shitless, press the button to say naughty words, about stupid tax things on company's house that none of us understand.
You love it.
No, I don't.
Ben
I don't.
Stayed up till God knows what time
I was in a WhatsApp conversation with Jimmy Healy at 1 a.m. Hi, Jimmy. How you doing? Thanks for pointing me in the direction of a couple of things. That's not right. We shouldn't be doing that.
Ben should be doing
right.
Pokemon Go, and instead he's crawling through Yeovil Athletic and Football Club.
There was a 5-star raid on just outside my house, and I couldn't take part. So
I've no idea what that means, by the way.
By the way, best international podcast has gone to Celtic state of mind, obviously.
There we go.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Ours might be next. So if I interrupt at any point, then that's why. So I've said my bit. It's time. Yeah. And that's not a thought of anyone else. That's me and my opinion, not endorsed by anyone else ever. So yes, there you go.
I'm not sure Ian's allowed to say anything on this one, but I could not agree with you more, Ben. And I think I probably said people have heard more than enough from me, but I would reiterate where you began with that. Nothing changes till everything changes. And Glenn Collis is not changed. He's just a continuation of where we are, and a continuation of where we are is a continuation of where we've been basically probably since we got relegated out of the Championship, probably even before then, because the John Fry, Norman Hayward continuation since we got relegated out of the Championship has been a slow descent. And I can only see if we keep on doing the things we do, we'll get what we always got, won't we? And unfortunately, I don't really like what we've had in the last few seasons. So let's change it up. There we go. If anyone's listening, if anyone cares, that's what two of us think anyway. And the other ones put a a piece of gaffer tape over his mouth so that he can't say anything.
I don't think I need to say anything.
I can tell you that the Arsenal Vision podcast has just won Best Premier League podcast.
Wow, okay.
Moving on.
Yeah, I think the one thing I would say is a big step was made this week in terms of supporters and representation of supporters coming together and showing a unified voice, which hasn't always been the case. So I think, you know, I feel like we're definitely, what did I describe it as in our WhatsApp? It's like a volcano. We've had the tremors and it feels like something can happen. Just hope it does soon, really, because this Weymouth game's going to be horrible if it goes one way.
Yep.
And it might not be much better if it goes the other way, really. I don't know what to think on Saturday. I honestly don't know what to expect. I hope we smash them.
Yeah.
And I hope fans make their voices heard. Not singing Mr. Brightside or
Adele.
Other such bollocks.
Yeah. Embarrassing, whoever they were.
I mean, I like Mr. Brightside. That's a great song. But
yeah. What the fuck has it got to do with a football game?
Yeah, when you've got 1,600 fans in the ground.
Yeah, can we just touch on that for a second? I know we were up against an England game, and I know it was the third of three home games in a row with a big game on Saturday to come. But where does that rank on the lowest attendances? That's horrendous.
It's pretty bad, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I don't remember going to watch a league game with that low an attendance. I mean, I might be wrong, but I certainly don't recall it.
No, there was never a football league game that went down that low, was it?
No.
Unless you count the whatever it was called trophy that everyone was boycotting, that probably went below it, didn't it?
Yeah, there was a couple of Pizza Cup games that dipped below 1,000, I think, but that's about it. That's pretty rubbish.
There we go. I've got the answer for you from Hewish.
Very nice.
We had a 1,455 versus Stevenage and a 1,593 against Kingstonian, both midweekers at the back end of the 99-2000 seasons as it petered out. So there we go. 1,455 versus Stevenage.
I was probably at them.
Yeah, you probably were. Yeah. Yeah.
I loved a midweek game.
Yeah.
Mainly because I had school the next day. It was all a bit exciting, you know.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like they were very exciting fixtures, to be fair. Not living long in the memory, but yeah. So what about Weymouth then?
Well, you've had a chat with a Weymouth covering journalist.
Exactly. He is not a Weymouth supporter. Well, no. At least I don't think he was. But yes, I caught up with Neil Walton, who is the Weymouth and Dorchester Town, I used to add, he does both of them, reporter for the Dorset Echo, to find out a little bit more about what that mob down the road are up to these days. So here we go. Enjoy it. Okay, so hello, this is Dave, and I am joined now by Neil, who is the Weymouth reporter for the Dorset Echo. So I haven't asked Neil whether he is a Weymouth fan, and I'm going to ask him to stay anonymous on that one because our listeners might switch off. But Neil, thank you, first of all, for joining us on the Glovers Cast.
You're welcome, man. Thanks very much for having me.
No problem at all. So we've obviously been talking on the podcast about the form of Yeovil Town, which is less than impressive going into the weekend's FA Cup tie. And when we look at the record of our friends down the road there, it's probably slightly less impressive than ours. Four defeats on the trot, sort of a couple of draws in there, albeit a draw with Notts County at home, which is no mean feat, and a loss to Stockport, who You know, we know we're a decent side. Does that reflect the way that Weymouth are playing now, or is there more to it than just the L's and the D's that we see in the past six results?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit more to it. I think particularly the Notts County draw, I think, came off the back of two successive wins. I think they beat Maidenhead and Solihull off the top of my head. And obviously, since then, obviously, you mentioned the results have tailed off. And yeah, I think there's quite a few factors in play, really. Obviously, the Bromley defeat doesn't look the greatest when you analyse it. I think most fans who went to that game would probably agree that it was the worst performance of the season. The 2-0 loss to Halifax last time out. Weymouth competed for large spells of that game. I think, by and large, their trouble in the past seven games, which is how long they've gone winless for in recent times, is just the lack of the final killer touch when they get in the opponent's final third. They've certainly had many spells of good possession, good passing. That's something that Brian Stock, the manager, has instilled upon the players this season. He's had, obviously, the chance to build with them during pre-season for the first time. As I mentioned, yeah, it's just that final killer ball. You know, they're not creating as much as they should be for the amount of possession that they're having, which has to be said is quite a decent amount.
Okay. And so defensively, how are they looking? From what you're saying there, midfield and maybe up front is maybe the problem. But defensively, the threes and the twos in the last few games suggest that they're shipping goals a bit. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's a very fair assessment. They haven't kept a clean sheet all season. So
right.
That's the glaring statistic from a Weymouth point of view. Yeah. It's one that I know Brian Stock is very conscious of. It wasn't so long ago, probably a month ago, that he mentioned to me that he was, you know, really craving that first clean sheet of the season, and it's just not happened. And if anything, Weymouth are conceding more and more goals. So from Saturday's point of view, I think, obviously, with it being a cup game, I think Weymouth maybe might look to keep it a little bit tight. But we'll see. We'll see. It's not in their psyche to do so. I think they tend to want to play, attacking, attractive football. So I'd be very surprised if that did happen, that they became more defensive all of a sudden. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too dissimilar to the team that Yeovil played on Tuesday night, Altrincham, who were a good, attacking team. They ended up playing with a left back in goal for 74 minutes. So how we only managed to draw there is a mystery to a lot of us. But good surface at Hewish Park as well. So I imagine the Weymouth boys will be looking forward to they like to get the ball down and play, do they?
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a key feature of Brian Stock's play, particularly this season. And certainly the players have taken to it very well. And like I said, the only glaring thing is just the lack of creation when they're getting on top of teams in their final third. But certainly you'll see when Weymouth come to Hewish Park on Saturday, a nice brand of football. It might not be the nicest for Yeovil fans to watch with it being Weymouth, but I'm sure from a neutral's point of view, they should be pretty entertained by what they see.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's going to be too many neutrals inside.
I think
Park.
Just us in the press box, really. But
exactly, yeah, just you guys. But I suppose that's the next question, really. I mean, it's obviously been a long time since Yeovil and Weymouth played each other in front of fans. We obviously know that there were two victories for the boys in green and white last season in the league. But I mean, what does this mean for the town of Weymouth and the club of Weymouth as well, to be playing Yeovil but in front of fans? I think that gives it a real different complexion, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Just to touch on the first point there, I think for a town like Weymouth to play Yeovil with the fixtures history and everything that's gone on in the past, I think it means a great deal. You only have to look at the reaction from social media when the draw was made. Absolutely fantastic reaction from the fans. They obviously can't wait to play the Glovers up at Hewish Park. And I think if they were to win on Saturday in their backyards, obviously making the first round for the first time in 14 seasons, it would be for Weymouth.
Right.
So obviously just local bragging rights and purely from how long the wait's been, it would mean that much to the Weymouth fans to make progress.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go back to the 80s, don't you, to find a Weymouth winning this in any fixture. But then there hasn't been that many fixtures, has there? So,
no, very true, yeah.
Yeah. So I suppose the last thing I'd ask you, Neil, was we recognise some of the players who are in the Weymouth lineup. Obviously, Brandon Goodship had a spell in his parish, as did Calvin Brooks in defence, had a little spell with you. I mean, who are the players that we should be looking out for in the Weymouth side?
Well, first of all, I think let's pick up on Brandon Goodship. He's probably not had the greatest second spell at Weymouth so far. I think he's been stationed out on the right wing quite a lot. Brian Stocks tended to favour Brad Ash. But that said, Brandon Goodship's happy to do a job out on the wide areas. And I think once he gets on a run of scoring, he's going to be pretty difficult to stop if his past record is anything to go by. Calvin Brooks is another one who probably hasn't had as much game time as he would like, certainly compared to last season, where he was virtually an ever-present. And that was down to the form of Josh Leslie-Smith at right-back. So those two have got a nice little competition for that place going on. I would say Weymouth's best player at the moment is Omar Moussa, who is... been a very, very big coup for the club. He was last season at Dover, and Brian Stock was delighted to get his signature in the summer. He's very, very skillful in midfield, has a great habit of breaking up opposition attacks in the centre of the park, isn't afraid to make a tackle, loves to do the hard yards, box to box, and he's got that bit of quality as well. I think the only thing missing to his game really is goals. But yeah, 100% Omar Moussa has been the best Weymouth player this season, in my opinion. Others to look out for, you've got Sean Shields and Ollie Harfield, their combination on the left side for Weymouth, Sean Shields being the winger. He's basically the assist king at Weymouth. You name it, he's good for an assist. Free kicks, corners, from open play as well. He loves it. Ollie Harfield will attack with him in tandem down the left. Those two, they just keep the chances coming for Weymouth. So, yeah, very, very potent combination down there.
Okay, fantastic. Right. Well, Neil, that's great. Well, really appreciate you taking the time, and obviously have a safe but very short trip up the on the road to Yeovil at the weekend. And yeah, we're obviously hopeful that there's not too many smiling faces in Weymouth come Saturday night. But yeah, enjoy your time there if you can.
Will do. Thank you very much for having me again.
Cheers. No problem. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Cheers. All the best.
Welcome back to the Glovers cast. Coatsy's finished his chat. Hope you enjoyed it. It was nice to get a bit of an insight of what's going on down in Dorset.
Down by the seaside.
Yeah, now we need to talk about that game. What does it mean to us? Well, we know what it means to Coatsy.
Game.
Meh. Yeah. I was watching the green and white goals against Bath City. Did you see it? The throwback Thursday today.
Yeah, if anyone
what
hasn't
a finish
seen it.
From Michael McKindo. What
can
a
one
finish.
Of can one of you two try and say Chris's name, please, so I don't butcher it again?
Chris Angelo.
Oh, what was that?
Chris Angelo.
Angelo. Angelo?
Angelo, yeah.
Very nice. Well, we appreciate it, Chris, because they're
like Michael.
By the way, we didn't win Best in Social either. That went to the 92 Bible, but we weren't nominated in that.
Coates has only just started the social.
Yeah, that's why. Next year, Coates.
What do you mean, just started? What do you think I've been doing for the last 36 months or
You've
so?
You've only just got a title.
Yeah, exactly.
You have been linking to Cheltenham match reports from 2006, though.
I have no idea how that's happening. I literally cut and paste things. I've never looked at that match report. Never. But I can always rely
on one protest too much.
I can always rely on my Facebook troll, Mr. Jem Gardner, Probably the nicest man in West Yorkshire after Ben, obviously.
Thank you, sir.
And on the par with Colin Redman, who's my Twitter troll. But Jem, yeah, he's on me every time. Every time he's on me. Got no escape from Jem.
Stop making mistakes then.
And now you're gonna dock it out my wages, Ben. Every time I make a mistake, yeah. Take out my wages.
You have to start paying us.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, yes. So what does Weymouth mean? Well, go on then. You say what it means to you.
Who are you talking to?
You. You're going to be there.
I am going to be there. It's bittersweet, isn't it? It's like, for me, it's the first time in my adult life that I'm going to get to experience a competitive game against Weymouth. But it's also, why the hell are we... I mean... It's like overarching feeling of, oh, we're going to play them in just after Christmas and we're going to play them next April in the league because we're in the same league. And it's that overarching feeling of, I don't want to be in the same league as Weymouth. How far have we fallen? How well have they done to reach a national league? Like, it's, yeah, but also there's that excitement of proper derby that everyone tells stories about. Yeah. Everyone talks about playing Weymouth, and I don't know what it's like to play Weymouth in a proper match. So I am excited, and I just hope it goes the right way.
Yeah, that's the thing. And listening to Neil talk there, it does sound like they've got very similar problems to us. They're struggling in front of goal. It sounds like they play it around very nicely in the middle of the park, but they do ship a lot of goals as well. So I know we've spoken about our ability to beat a left back in goal, but if they are letting in goals at the rate of knots that they are, then surely we've got to seize an advantage there, haven't we? What do you think we need to do? Do we need to sense blood and just go for it, Ben? What do you think? Do we just go for them from the off?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. I think we do. I've been looking through some of the Weymouth results recently, losing 3-1 at Barnet, lost to Stockport 2-1, 3-0 Bromley, 2-0 against Halifax. And quite a few occasions, they've gone behind before halftime. And I do think getting out of the blocks early doors is vital. Michael Cheek, 10th minute, Bromley, 45+1. They went 2-0 up. Halifax, Barnet scored in the first half. Mitch Brundle, remember him? He scored for Barnet against Weymouth when they played. So time and time again, it feels like that Jordan Slew, first half, 30 minutes again for Halifax, they feel like they're there to be got out quick. And if we've got a quick start against Altrincham and it's not quite worked, I think we need the same level of intensity. I think we need the same level of get at them, possibly play the similar kind of formation, maybe go through 4-3-3 and just try and give them hell early doors, really, and try and get 1-0 up and just settle the nerves, get the crowd on side. We don't know how many there are going to be. We would hope, well, how many are you hoping for, Ian? 3, 4, 5?
Got to be more than 3.
Does it have to be more than 3?
Well, I think anything less than 3 is a massive failure.
Do you think they'll do...
If you can't get people through the gates to watch us play Weymouth for the first time in 21 years?
In front of fans,
then what can you get people in for?
Do you think Weymouth will bring both of their fans?
Well, I asked when we went off air, I asked Neil about this, and he reckoned they brought probably about 50 to 100 to most away games. Obviously, you know, it's a long way from Weymouth to a lot of places because, you know, try and keep Weymouth as far away from most other places as we can, don't we? But the so he reckoned they do like 10 times that. So he was reckoning something between 500 and 1,000. I'd be surprised if they bought 1,000, to be honest with you. But I bet you they'll have a few in the terrace.
Well, hopefully. I mean, that's part of the reason I'm excited for it, is because there might be some people in the away end.
Away end,
other than the groundsmen.
Yeah.
Grounds people.
Yeah. Ben's gonna, Ian's gonna give it, he's gonna go charging down the other end, tearing seats up and chucking them in and everything, chucking flares, all sorts. It's gonna be toxic.
Oh, I won't do that at Weymouth fans.
No,
depends, he's in the director's box.
he's gone there.
No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I think it'll be a fun game. I think you're right, we need to go for them. It's going to be totally different to Altrincham, in that Altrincham defended really well.
Yeah.
So, you know, they defended like their lives were on the line, whereas if Weymouth can't defend, then we might get those chances that we, you know, create clear-cut opportunities to put away.
Yeah.
So there is a difference. Let's just hope we don't, well, hope we don't get caught up in the scenes. If there is, you know, if there is an atmosphere, we've got a young squad, as we were reminded of today. We've got a young team, and calm heads need to prevail if things do get fiery.
Yeah, I do wonder if we might see, if we might physically see Reuben Reid, Mark Little there on the sidelines, possibly. Just, I'm not sure where they've been.
I think Reid's been there the last couple of games. I'm sure I've seen someone. And
I just wonder if they're going to be there physically a lot more, in and around them, just to kind of keep a few calm heads together. It is
Wilkinson as well.
Yeah, Wilkinson. I chuck him in there. It's a big game for the guys that are experienced. It's arguably Josh Staunton's biggest game for us. He's been one of our, if not the best player this season, maybe. He's got a huge game marshalling those young lads around him. I think I agree with what we said last time about possibly bringing Bradley back in, or someone that's played a few more games rather than relying completely on loanees. Although I did note that he said Lewis Simper might be in the squad, which might be a bit of excitement, especially if Pereira is still unwell. So, yeah, it's a big one. It's a big one, all right, for multiple reasons. Obviously, the football reasons are one of us is going to the FA Cup first round, and that brings with it, even at this early stage, a fairly interesting level of financial reward. I mean, who knows what happens if you get to third and fourth rounds, but we'll worry about that as and when. One of us is going out and not even qualifying for the FA Cup proper this year. And, I mean, yeah, that's a lot of pressure on two managers, really, as much as anything, because they're both in bang out of form at the moment. So a lot of pressure indeed. Massive, massive game. If it was anyone else, it would be massive still, but it happens to be them. It happens to be Weymouth.
So now we've spoken about what the derby means for us, shall we talk about a little hashtag that's some exploded casual, across social media?
Plagiarism.
Absolutely. Couldn't be before the awards, unfortunately. But,
by the way, just a little awards update, by the way. I've completely convinced that they've forgotten all about the non-league divisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. It's like the European Super League all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, Arsenal Fan TV just won silver in something, but I'm convinced that they've just, yeah, they've forgotten that the non-league even exists.
Is it like when there's an international break and everyone says, oh, there's no football now? It's like, yeah, there is. There's four Yeovil games in 2 weeks, which my wife is extremely pleased about.
She loves it, yeah. I reckon we're going to be on screen. You know, when they have a mid interval and everyone goes off to the bar, I reckon they're just going to rattle through the non-league awards on screen. I'm going to completely miss it.
A couple of PowerPoint slides. Yes,
just a small ticker across the bottom of the screen.
Black aerial font on a white background.
Comic Sans.
Yeah.
God, no. Not Comic Sans. I think we tear up anything that's in Comic Sans. Yeah.
So go on, you guys talk about the hashtag.
Yeah, well, Ian, you talk about the hashtag because you were the one who stole it, and created it. Well, I don't think you stole it, did you?
I was inspired. Definitely stole it. I was inspired by Watsy.
Yeah.
And his tweet. And
so what was Watsy? What was Watsy tweeting about? Because his was the first, wasn't it? His was the one that was that sparked it all.
Hang on a second, mate. You've caught me on the hop here.
I didn't mean you had to read it all out because it was quite long, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, well, no, it was just, you know,
So
just talked about what being a Yeovil Town fan meant to him and all the things that had happened as a result of supporting Yeovil and just taking it away from the football and sort of just sharing what it means. And it was a bit inspiring, I think, given everything that's going on and just the overwhelming feeling that all supporters are obviously feeling right now. It was, why not? Let's turn it into a hashtag and share. And
see what comes. And
people
we did.
Have jumped
and
on
people
it.
Have really jumped on it, yeah. And on Facebook as well. So, yeah. And it is fantastic to see what can I read out what's his post?
Yeah, go
can
read out.
It's yeah, quite long, but I do like it. Okay, here we go. As much as I make out, I can't stand the place. Yeovil is in the blood. It's everything I've known since I was four. It's been weekends for the last 22 years of my life. It's my best pals, my fiance, the people I don't agree with, the ones I say hi to every week without having a clue what their name is. Memories of trips home and away with my late father, grumbles with my granddad, cup runs, the FA Trophy, promotions, playoff wins and losses, relegations, and the team who gets you up when they're winning and the one and down when they're losing. Forget the land, forget the money-making ventures, the managers who've been and gone, the owners who haven't cared. To me and to so many others, it's everything. The decisions that have probably been made already shape what happens in weeks, months and years to come. That's why the position we're in with our current ownership so much more than any money is worth so much more than any other money making venture to the fans right now. I may have butchered that slightly at the end there, but yeah, it was some very nice and touching words, which were followed up by some of your own, Ian, as well.
Yeah, it was touching, and I think it's totally relatable to anyone who's, you know, spent their Saturday afternoons at Huish Park or even not at Huish Park watching the football, because it's so many different feelings, isn't it? It's like, for me, it's like I've always gone with family.
Yeah.
And for me it was afternoons with my mum, my granddad, my great uncle and a family friend. It was, you know, all of us sat there, all of us jumping on a coach to Birmingham to watch us beat Stevenage in the trophy final. Jumping on a coach to watch us lose to Blackpool. Jumping on a coach to watch us win against Brentford.
Yeah.
It is more than just the football. It's just that shared experience. And I think that's the other thing that, you know, that Elliot said about, you know, saying hello to people that you don't even know their name just because they sit next to you every week or they sit near you every week. It's, and I get that when I get, you know, going now, I'll still go and sit under the H unless I'm on commentary or in the box. Under the H in the Screwfix stand, if you want to come and say hi. I won't be there on Saturday, I'll be somewhere else. It's all those people that, you know, that's where I've always been, and I'll always gravitate to go back there because of just, it's almost like it is my seat. It's not my seat, but that is where I'm going to sit.
Yeah.
Every time.
What about you, Dave?
What did I can't even remember what I wrote. I think I would summarize it all by saying that if I ever meet anybody, it probably takes me till about 5 minutes to tell them that I'm a Yeovil Town supporter. And I saw somebody else write, it's just who I am. And it is, because I don't know what I would do without it, honestly. And that might sound a bit tragic, but I don't know what I would do if I didn't have to drive however many thousand miles every year to go and watch them play. I just don't know what I do with myself. And it's scary to think that you know, I don't know whether I'd be as dramatic as saying we're in a position where that's, you know, that is at risk or not. But the very fact that we're even contemplating the fact that it could be at risk, that's pretty scary. That is pretty scary that we could lose all that. And I don't, I like to stay positive and like to think that there's never going to be a risk that we are going to lose all that. But it's certainly one of the moments where you just think to yourself, you're actually thinking that it's even something that you're contemplating is quite a scary thing to do.
Yeah. And Ben,
what about you? You haven't written anything yet.
I've been very busy today. So it's for me, Yeovil is what made football real. Before I discovered Yeovil around 2000, football was Gaza in Euro 96 on the telly. It was Michael Owen, France 98 on the telly, and a strange desire to be the third in the front three of Dwight York, Savo Milosevic at Aston Villa. Very strange. Not quite sure why I ever drifted towards Aston Villa, but I did. And funnily enough, that FA Trophy game, I was front row, halt end, in my Villa shirt, and Adam Stansfield jumps into me after he scores, and the bloke stood next to me. You can just about make out my claret and blue Aston Villa shirt in the front row on the clip. It's what makes football real, and it's what kept me close to home when I now live however many hundreds of miles away that I do. It's allowed me to be creative later on in life. I've managed to work for Yeovil, work with Yeovil, work on Yeovil, and it's allowed me a passion that I didn't know or I take for granted sometimes. And with that comes the chance to meet people. I've met you strange northerners in the process and done far too many miles on northern motorways moaning about stuff. You know, we enjoy the good days, but there was that quiet track back from, was it Stevenage, Dave, or was it Rushton, where we did
Dagenham.
Dagenham,
yeah.
We did about 5 hours and said about three words. It was horrendous.
Ben gets really moody.
I do. Yeah, you're right.
It's bad enough when he loses a quiz.
I know.
So don't go there. Still too soon.
So for me, it's not about family. My dad was someone who enjoyed watching football from afar and quite happily drove me to all of my games and all the rest of it. But he wasn't a fan. He's an armchair Arsenal fan, a bit like you, actually, Ian. So it was something that I kind of gravitated towards naturally myself and kind of dragged dad along with me. Dad used to come with me to games, and I remember even going to reserve games on Tuesday nights and things like that. Yeah, it's so much more. It's a feeling like you can't really explain when you have an affection towards a football club, and those moments hit, that moment at Forest. It's not a real feeling, and I don't quite know how to describe it to somebody who says you don't quite get the understanding of going to a gig, and I don't really get it. If I go to a gig, a music gig or a comedy gig or an arts thing, or some people love TV shows like it's the best thing ever to happen, I don't really get it for those things. I get it for football. I get it for those moments. And when they apply to Yeovil, it's not tangible. It's not describable. So that's what Yeovil means to me. And
can you remember the first goal you saw at Hewish Park?
Yes, it was Bournemouth. It would have been 1999. It might have been a pre-season friendly. And I think we won. Yes, I couldn't tell you the exact goal. It was definitely Bournemouth. Might even have been, it would have been 99-2000. Yeah, 99-2000, I think.
Okay.
My mind escaped me. I don't think I've copied and pasted that set of match reports yet, Ian.
Yeah, there's still to come.
Going back to see through the stats, but I can remember mine. I don't know if mine will be on it, actually. Well, it might be. We played Swindon. Oh, it's not on it. We played Swindon in a pre-season friendly. And their fullback scored, you know, Lee Dixon's own goal where he boots it over David Seaman.
Yeah.
Their fullback did that. That was the first goal I ever saw scored for Yeovil. An own goal in a pre-season friendly. Yeah. And then I was adamant that they didn't equalise because I just didn't believe it had happened. Those were the days. There was no roof on the end then. Not that much else has changed.
No, true. I would encourage anyone to go and just sift through the hashtag that Ian plagiarized and stole off Elliot, and just taking a few moments, because for some people, you know, it's the heroes as well, isn't it? It's the people involved. It's, for me, it's Patmore and Pennock. It's, it goes on to become Stansfield. It goes on to become Skiverton and all the rest of it. And those guys that have, even more recently, Madden, Foley. I'm a big Foley fan, big Sam Foley guy, me. Those guys that all sort of come along with it. It's those people, it's those heroes that you look up to, far beyond anything. And heck, we've even had a chance to talk to a couple on here. Plug the Kevin Gall thing, you know what I mean? It's that opportunity to be, yeah, it's given us far more than I could ever wish for. And yeah, here we are talking about it twice a week. It's halftime in the Football Contents Award, by the way, and we've not been up yet, so.
I would just conclude with this little chat about that hashtag that Andy Craig, former competitor in the Glover's Cast,
the young pretender,
in the Glover's Cast quiz, did put his out, and he said he was born hours prior to the Fulham when we beat knocked Fulham out of the FA Cup back in the dark days, and he was named after Andy Wallace, who scored that night. So Andy Wallace was the first goal scorer I ever saw at the Oval as well. So I won't tell you when that was, but it was a long time ago, 1992, blimey. You weren't even born then. I know. I've heard it all before.
I was four.
I was.
All right. Okay.
You're yeah, not that you old.
Nah, no. So, are we going to end with a quiz?
Yeah. Let's leave it to a very well-organized, well-drilled, totally professional quiz. Who was up tonight? Who was up to...
Tonight, we had the reigning champion, Andy Cleave, against a Stuart Barnes, who got in touch with us via Twitter. And I do say at the end, if anybody wants to, drop us a line on Twitter and you're more than welcome to come and take one. And I promise it'll be better organised than this one.
What have you just done?
Was that a spoiler?
You just spoiled the fucking quiz.
What did I say?
For Jesus Christ.
We let him in charge of social media. Invited anyone on to take on...
Oh, no. Oh, blimey. You're going to have to cut it there.
We'll can you put a bleep sound in?
We'll leave it.
Oh, yeah.
In.
Huh? Don't keep it in. That tops off the day, doesn't it?
Oh, fucking hell. We better beat Weymouth.
Okay, so it's quiz time, and I am joined by our new and I guess reigning champion, Andrew Cleave, one more time. Cleavo, good to have you back.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, nice to be back. Absolutely. Bit of a surprise, but...
Well, there you go. Mr. Perkins still crying his tears, I think. And we've got a new... Yeah, I know, he's very upset about it. But we've got a new challenger contacted us via Twitter, as anyone can, if anyone wants to take on a quiz. So welcome to the Glover's Cast, Stuart Barnes.
Hello, Dave.
Are you ready? Are you a regular listener? You know I'm the quiz. You understand the rules.
I certainly am. I listen to every single podcast, so episode. Right. So yeah.
Okay, well,
absolute dedication that is.
Yeah, now you've seen Stuart sing behind the curtain now, so he knows what an absolute farce this is. So I'll confess that before this, I've misplaced one of my player histories, so I had to hastily put one together. So we'll see how well this goes, but this is what happens when Ben and Ian aren't around. So, okay, but by luck or by judgment, there is a theme to tonight's quiz, which is combative midfield players. So there you go. There's a bit of a clue to the two of you. So here we go. I'll start with the first one. Okay. I was born in Barking in East London in April 1979 and began my career as a 20-year-old for my local side, Dagenham and Redbridge. In my first campaign, I was part of the Daggers side, which finished the 1999-2000 season as champions of the Eastman League Premier Division, playing in the heart of midfield, of course. We scored 92 times that season, with me chipping in with a number. I was a regular in our first season up in the conference, playing 41 times, including wins over Yeovil Town, both home and away, guiding the Daggers to a third-place finish. Dagenham finished runners-up and goal difference the year after. But in 2002-03, we became the first team to make the newly introduced conference playoffs, finishing fifth. We missed out to a golden goal winner for Doncaster Rovers, but I did become a Football League player after signing for Yeovil Town in the summer of 2003. It took me until my till the fourth match, a 2-0 defeat at Leyton Orient, to make my appearance coming off the bench after 73 minutes for Nick Crittenden. My first start came a couple of days later, a 4-1 defeat at the hands of Macclesfield. And despite Messrs. Crittenden, Way and Williams and Johnson being in the midfield options, I managed to make 41 appearances that season. That included a first-half red card in a 3-2 defeat at Darlington, a team I would go on to represent later in my career. I managed 7 goals as Gary Johnson's men romped to the Division 3 title in 2005, with my most memorable coming with a goal in the FA Cup third-round defeat at Charlton Athletic. In that game, I wheeled away to point at my more famous footballing brother in the stands. The clue there, fellas.
Paul Terry.
Paul Terry is the correct answer.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
I was well really played. Struggling there. I was thinking this is the hardest one I've ever heard.
There you go.
It was a tough one, to be fair.
I've got to say they are a lot more difficult when you know the pressure is on. I think so. They definitely do come a little bit more like that. Right, bear with me a second, fellas. I'm going to have to pause this. Okay, we're back. So, player number two. I was born in Wembley in London in May of 1978. And my professional career began at Millwall. I made my debut in a 3-2 home win over Preston North End in January 1997, lining up in a midfield alongside former England midfielder Ray Wilkins for the Lions. In my second game, I was sent off for 2 bookings in a 5-1 defeat at Stockport County, which set the tone for my career as a somewhat combative midfield player.
Mark Burcham?
Oh, Mark Burcham is the right answer, Cleaver. Oh. I thought that one was going to go on a lot longer than it did. Congratulations, Clevo. That was a good shout. Never even got to the haircut.
I was waiting for the tights type description to come in because he used to wear tights.
I wasn't going to mention tights, but I was going to mention that slightly striking haircut, shall we say, that he had. Okay.
Like all combative midfielders have.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is a connection here as all of our combative midfielders are born in London as well. So, but that probably says something about the number of London-based players we've had in our time, doesn't it? So, yes. Well, there you go. It's 1-1 then going into the third and decisive player. Are we ready, gentlemen? Yep. I'm ready, which is something. Right.
Yeah, let's go.
I was born in Whitechapel in London in January 1987, and my career started in the youth setup at Tottenham Hotspur. I signed a professional contract at White Hart Lane, but the nearest I got to a first team place was an unused substitute in a couple of UEFA Cup ties over Slavia.
Ryan Mason.
Mason.
No, he hasn't done it. So the rules of the game, Stuart, are that you wait, sit out until we get to the end of the next paragraph. Good shout, but not Ryan Mason.
I'm not sure if Mason was combative thinking about it. He was more creative, wasn't he? But
well, let's not split hairs, Clevo. Come on, no need to mock. You haven't won yet. Right.
I'm not mocking.
So I was an unused substitute in a couple of UEFA Cup ties over Slavia Prague and Sporting Braga. My first professional game came at Millwall, where I was sent on loan in November 2006 and made my first start in a 2-2 draw with Doncaster Rovers at the New Den. Stuart, you're back in. I played 6 matches during my loan spell there.
Dean Parrott.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
It's not Dean Parrott, though. It's not Dean Parrott. So, so Stuart, is good. You've got some good guesses for Tottenham midfield players. But, yeah, you might want to wait a little bit longer.
That was a good shout. To the next that one. Was a better shout than the Mason one, I think.
Okay. So, I played 6 matches during my loan spell at Millwall before returning to Tottenham, where I made it onto the substitutes bench in a number of top-flight fixtures. Despite that, I was released in the summer of 2007 and snapped up by Peterborough United, where I slotted into the centre of midfield for the 07-08 campaign. I played 50 times and scored 8 goals and was named Posse's Player of the Year. But the following season, I was moved back into defence. Despite that, I was Player of the Season again for the second successive season, and Peterborough were promoted to the Championship. In fact, it was my goal in a 1-0 win at Colchester in the penultimate game of the season, which clinched promotion. In 2009-10, I played 37 times in the Championship, which saw Peterborough swiftly dispatched back to League One. And in the summer of 2011, a certain Gary Johnson arrived at London Road. Having made me a regular in the first team for the first 3 months of his tenure, Gary loaned me out to Gillingham for a month in November of that year before bringing me back in mid-December. He was gone by January, and despite playing 44 times, I was allowed to leave Peterborough and join Gillingham permanently in the summer of 2011. I spent 3 years there, making 46 appearances, and in the summer of 2014, I left to join Stevenage, recently relegated to League Two. For 2 seasons, I was a regular fixture in the side and was managed by Darren Sale, who took over at Broadall Lane in the February of that year. He allowed me to leave for National League later.
Charlie Lee?
Charlie Lee is the right answer, Clevo. Yes, well, it is. Oh. So we have the Clevo has retained his title for a second year. That one was going on for a bit. I was wondering whether Stuart was going to swoop in there.
I thought he had it with Parrott, to be fair. I thought he had it with Parrott.
There you go.
With the Tottenham connections.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably threw
people
play off
for
a bit.
Stevenage, didn't he? Parrott did play for Stevenage.
Did play for Stevenage, So it could have been.
So that was a good shout, but.
There we go. Right. Well, Clevo, keep next Thursday free because we're going to need you to come back again. Yeah. And Stuart, thank you very much for joining us on the Glovers Cast. Thanks for taking on the quiz. And if there's anyone out there that wants to take Clevo on, please let us know and we will get you
on. Played, Stuart. Well,
hopefully,
played,
very
it
good.
Will be a bit more organised. Thanks very much.
Well done.
Take care, fellas.
Well, bye played, Stuart. Cheers, chaps. Have a good one, Dave.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.